Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Who said, "Had I anything to do with the Negro, I would confine them by strict law to their own species and put them on a national equalization"? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson.
That has to be somebody from the Ku Klux Klan, I would think, Bill.
You would think that would be someone bigoted. Who in today's environment would be considered to be bigoted. Yes, but it was actually Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement, the founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, why do we bring this up today? Because we are going to take a little bit of a break from our series on the book Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, because at the end of this week, on June 8th, it marks the 35th anniversary when the LDS Church ceased prohibiting those of African heritage from holding the priesthood. And of course, the priesthood is absolutely essential in Mormon theology if Mormon males hope to get the best the Mormon religion has for them. You must have this priesthood. But until 1978, those of African heritage were prohibited from having this priesthood, and of course the blessings, as Mormons would say, that accompany it. We're going to be looking at this because, as we've discussed before, the Mormon Church doesn't seem to know why those of African heritage were not allowed to hold the priesthood, but yet they most certainly did keep many of their own members who had African heritage from holding that office.
Now, some of the people listening to your quote at the very beginning are saying, did he really say that? Because again, I think it's a really bigoted sounding quote, and he did say it. History of the Church, Volume 5, pages 217 to 218. So if you can get on your computer, you can find that. Strict law to their own species is, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty serious, especially in the environment in which we live now in the 21st century. But this was all brought back to the surface in February of 2012. And in case you've forgotten what happened in February of 2012, a Brigham Young University professor by the name of Randy Bott decided that he would answer some questions of a journalist regarding the prohibition that took place in the Mormon Church up until 1978. And Randy Bott said some things that, to our ears, were not really out of the ordinary when it comes to why many Latter-day Saints feel that blacks were not allowed to hold the priesthood. But certainly it brought a lot of embarrassment to the Mormon Church, because I think the Mormon Church would hope that this would just go away.
Oh, sure.
They just want it to go away. The problem for the Mormon Church is that they do believe in Latter-day Revelation. They brag about it. They have Latter-day Revelation. They have living prophets and apostles that speak the mind of God. And that's what separates the Mormon Church from the rest of what they call apostate Christendom. However, when you hold them accountable for some of the statements that their latter-day prophets and apostles have made, all of a sudden you get accused of being the anti-Mormon, and somehow, some way, those statements aren't as bad as you might have thought they were. This can be very confusing, but the fact remains that there were a lot of statements made about blacks not holding the priesthood up until 1978. That Mormons did believe to be true. And it all ties in to this doctrine of eternal progression. If you studied Mormonism, you would find that there were Mormon leaders who said that the reason you are born at a certain station in this mortality It's because of your performance in the pre-existent life.
One third of the spirits who were less valiant, and so they were born according to merit, and they did not have as much merit as others. But you know, you bring up the Randy Bott situation, and that was embarrassing for them. Because I think you're right. The church has wanted to sweep this under the carpet and just let it go away. But we live in an age here with the internet and with so much information available at our fingertips that I think we have the ability to show it has not gone away. It should not go away. And this 35th anniversary that's happening on Saturday, we're going to be showing this week that this was not a revelation, as many Latter-day Saints may think, but it was more of a policy decision. But when Randy Bott came out with this statement, they put a statement on their MormonNewsroom.org site responding to this, because the media was all over this. And in a statement called, it's called the Church Statement Regarding Washington Post Article on Race in the Church. Let me just read this, because I think this is important for us to understand, to see how the church is trying to whitewash this. They write, "The positions attributed to BYU professor Randy Bott in a recent Washington Post article absolutely do not represent the teachings and doctrines of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. BYU faculty members do not speak for the church. It is unfortunate that the church was not given a chance to respond to what others said. The church's position is clear. We believe all people are God's children and are equal in His eyes and in the church. We do not tolerate racism in any form. For a time in the church, there was a restriction on the priesthood for male members of African descent. It is not known precisely why, how, or when this restriction began in the church, but what is clear is that it ended decades ago. Some have attempted to explain the reason for this restriction, but these attempts should be viewed as speculation and opinion, not doctrine."
That it was just speculation. They claim to be the only church on the face of the earth that has the authority to speak for God. And yet when you hold them accountable for the things that their leaders have said, all of a sudden now, that was just speculation. But I will guarantee you that Mormons listening to the statements of these leaders years ago would never have walked away thinking that people such as David O. McKay or people like that were merely speaking with speculation.
And we're going to prove that this week. If you listen to this week's broadcast, we're going to show very clearly about this doctrine. I'm just amazed when they say the church is not bound by speculations or opinions given with limited understanding. They're referring to their previous leaders. Were those previous leaders not speaking with the authority of God? I mean, if they weren't, what else can't we trust? And to say that we don't know how it began in the church, but it ended decades ago, so just let it go, is what I'm reading as I read this. They don't want anybody to question why this ever came to be in the first place. Just let it be.
And that becomes very confusing, because when we're trying to understand this religion and we're trying to understand the truth claims that it makes, why does it say one thing and then later on completely reverse its own position on that? And it really makes no sense to me that if really this was not something that was a doctrine of the church, why, as many Mormons are led to believe, did they need a so-called revelation in order to reverse it? Now, we're going to talk about this later on this week, that it really wasn't a revelation at all. In fact, if you were to go and look at the back of the Doctrine and Covenants, look at the revelations. It ends with section 138. That's the last revelation that's actually found in the Doctrine and Covenants proper. And even that is not a new revelation. That's an old one that they had to finally canonize.
Yeah, they did that in 1976 with 137 and 138. Those were the final two that they have put in so far.
But you will find that this reversal of position in the Mormon Church is found in a declaration very similar to the declaration that was supposedly to end plural marriage. Why is it we don't see the actual revelation? We don't see the actual revelation that supposedly ends the priesthood ban for blacks. And we also do not see the revelation that supposedly ended the practice of plural marriage. Instead, they are put in a different category, a declaration. Well, there's a lot of speculation as to why that could be. One, maybe it wasn't a revelation at all. And if not, then what are Mormons supposed to do with that? If, in fact, a great many members of the Mormon Church who had African heritage were being banned from holding this priesthood, doesn't it look like blind faith on the part of the leadership to continue this prohibition if they really didn't know why? Shouldn't they have known why? Since this particular position, we'll call it, prohibited many faithful members from benefiting from the many blessings that they feel this church has to offer. And when the Mormon Church keeps telling its people that God will never allow the leadership to lead the people astray, how in the world can you insist that this was not leading certain people astray?
This is a big deal, and I think that we are going to make a big deal of this, because how many people died before 1978 with black blood in them that were never given the opportunity, if the Mormon Church is true, to be able to have all of the privileges? And you can just say, well, they're going to get that in the next life. Well, that's if that's even true.
That just does not hold it for me. To just say, well, they could eventually get it after all of Adam's posterity had the opportunity to and have the priesthood. And that's basically what Brigham Young said.
Yeah.
And if that's really true, what Brigham Young said, then the church was obviously premature in allowing blacks to hold the priesthood mm-hmm. in 1978. Brigham Young did not teach that. In fact, Declaration 2 that talks about this is actually erroneous when it gives the impression that that could have happened during this mortality. That is not what early Mormon leaders were actually teaching, especially Brigham Young. As I said before, it had all to do with how you behaved in the pre-existence. Everything about Mormonism has to do with performance. Even where you were born in this mortality had something to do with your performance in the pre-existent life. And Mormon leaders did say there was something that the blacks did not do that they probably should have done, but because they didn't, they would be punished.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.